Our world is in need of hope and healing. So where do we find hope and healing? Some look to the people who inhabit the halls of Washington, D.C. Others look to the people who appear in movies or on television. But some of us, a few of us at least, look to the wisdom of the grandmothers. These grandmothers lead us to ask, can we find hope in the grandmother plant?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 626th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Lisbon who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James at the boards and producers Carol Stafford and Parmley Taff on tap. Folks, our world is in need of healing and hope. There are many who promise to bring us healing and hope. They fill the halls of Washington, D.C. and promise that if we send them our money and the money of our children and their children's children, they will pass a law that will bring us healing and hope. Others appear on television and promise that if we send them our money, they will send us a box or a bottle that is filled with healing and hope. Most of us have purchased these promises of healing and hope at one place or one time or another, and yet we still find ourselves in need. Today we're going to look in a different direction. Today we're going to look at the medicines of grandmothers for healing and hope. And so we ask, can the grandmother's plant help us find healing and hope? Here to help us today we have Grandmother Florida Mile. Are you really a grandmother, Florida Mile?
Yes, I am.
She is. Good.
Yes.
Why grandmothers? Why do you stand up to the world and I say I'm a grandmother, and not only that, but you're one of the grandmothers. That's a pretty powerful thing to say.
I would first like to say that in our way of learning in Central America, we are taught that we have four cycles of life, and ending at the age of 52, and I am way past that. And so I stand in that grandmother period.
Mm-hmm.
And so after we have gone through these four stages of life, we've pretty much learned quite a bit and gone through these cycles of being a child, of being a young person, a young mom, raising children, working, and now this is the time where we spend a lot of time with our Creator. And so this is the way that I understand that we come into this place of grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And through these stages of learning, we certainly put a lot under our belt. And also I come from a family where the information was handed down from mother to daughter for many, many generations. I do not know how many generations we go back, but we do go back for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. There was I suppose we should tell the audience, too, that your family brought you into the world in the rainforests of Nicaragua, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm born and raised in Nicaragua.
And into the Mayan culture?
Well, I am Mayan by blood,
mm-hmm.
and this is where I come from.
And part of that culture, of course, is transmitting the knowledge of one generation to the next, mother to daughter, father to son.
That's correct. And not only that, but the information that we receive orally is also information on prophecies, which are actually words of the ancestors that are left for us to guide ourselves as humans on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I had a conversation last evening with a group of people from Quebec, and we were talking about knowledge. And it occurred to us, of course, that knowledge is but one generation deep. And if somebody's not there teaching the next generation, they're going to be really out of luck. And fortunately, somebody thought a lot about you to teach you this knowledge of healing. Was that your mother?
It was my mother, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had been my first teacher and my beautifully beloved teacher. You know, it's kind of really sad because in this day and age and in the way that things are in this Western culture, I have two children, and not too long ago, my daughter, who is in her 40s, and she has three children, she was very sad, and she said to me, "My gosh, Mom, what is going to happen with all this knowledge?"
Yeah.
But
and,
she, you know, she just doesn't have the time. She seems to be working. She seems to be doing other things. And I said to her, you know, it really is up to you, you know, because I'm here, and it's not so much that we can hand down the knowledge. The thing is to have an interested son or daughter,
mm-hmm,
or grandchildren. That
somebody has to be receptive.
Somebody has to be totally receptive to.
So you were a receptive person, weren't you? I mean, I was told that you were helping your mother deliver children at the age of five, when you were five years old.
Actually, the story is a little bit different.
Uh-huh.
My mother was a midwife.
Mm-hmm.
And she awoke me with a really beautiful kind of initiation words, and I was actually 4 years old, and I had been having many, many dreams and visions, and she had been listening to my dreams, and she felt that around that time would be a good time for me to come with her.
Mm-hmm.
I did not assist her in any way with the delivery or anything like that. What my job was is to hold the baby and just kind of watch the field of the baby,
mm-hmm,
and see what I was seeing, because I was born a seer. And so,
what do you mean by that?
That means that
is that different than watching television?
Well, we're physical humans, but for myself, when I close my eyes, I see beyond that. I see the light body of the persons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would close my eyes, and I would see different formations of light patterns. And depending on how I see them or what I see, it gives me, there's like a communication. And I can interpret that. So I would, you know, be able to say little things, you know, about the child. And it became kind of like something that the moms and the dads would look forward to.
Now, Florida Maya, there's a tradition of this in traditional cultures, is there not?
Oh, absolutely.
So in your culture, that would not be an unusual thing for somebody in your community to have this ability and for people to look up to that person, right?
Absolutely. It's very much a cultural thing, yes.
Is there anything like that in our modern culture?
Oh, absolutely. The thing about our modern culture is that we do not nurture that from the time the child is a child. You
mm-hmm.
see, what happened to me was that I was nurtured.
Oh, they sent me to reform school. Just kidding. But probably
yeah.
That's what happens to children who they give them drugs to settle them down or something like that when they're misbehaving and don't really look and see what's going on there.
Well, I was very talkative and a very gentle child, you know,
mm-hmm.
but my mother said that I had a very good vocabulary when I was very, very young, and so I was able to really express myself. And not only that, but I'm the baby of 15. So
wow.
With, you know, that many brothers and sisters, I was just a spoiled brat.
Yeah, I guess so. Nobody picked on you in the neighborhood, I guess, huh?
No. And all of my brothers and sisters had some kind of a gift,
mm-hmm.
And there's a few of us that had the gift to see. So I was not alone. I was very nurtured, and that, you know, made it into a very, very wonderful childhood and upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you pursued the healing arts as you were growing up as a child, correct?
Yes.
And the community nurtured that within you?
Absolutely.
And said it was okay to be a healer. You can do this. We'll go along with you and watch over you and encourage you. Well,
absolutely.
Okay, we're talking with grandmother, Florida Mile. This is the Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're looking at looking for hope and healing in a different place than we usually look. Often we look to the halls of government, and you know, they promise if we send them all of our money that they'll help us out. And so do those people with smiling faces on television and in the movies, and it seems like everybody wants to help us out, but we don't seem to be getting that much hope and healing. So today we're looking into a different place. We're looking at the way a traditional culture and some of the indigenous peoples from our continent have looked for hope and healing when things don't go their way. With us is grandmother, Florida Mayo. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the grandmother plant, and we're going to ask, is there hope and is there healing in the grandmother plant? Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about healing and hope. And where on earth do we find it these days? We definitely are in need of it, given the shape of our world and how bruised and battered everything seems to be. So where do we turn when we need hope and healing? Seems to be everybody in the world wants to sell us a little bit of it, but we don't seem to be getting what we pay for. So let's look around a little bit. Let's look to the traditional healing arts of the indigenous peoples of Central America, as represented today by Grandmother Flor de Mayo. Welcome back, Grandma. Is it all right if I call you Grandmother?
Sure.
Okay,
fine.
Good. And not only are you a grandmother, but you're involved in all kinds of things grandmotherish, like the Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. What is that?
It's a group of grandmothers that came together in 2004. Actually, we're 13.
Do you go bowling or anything?
No. Our mission is that we have several concerns, and our concerns are the epidemic of materialism. Mm-hmm. We are.
I can see my grandmother talking about that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are educating the people into remembering our Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the children and all of her inhabitants. We are concerned of the destruction of life that is happening all over the world,
mm-hmm.
The pollution of the waters and the atmosphere, and we are also very concerned in protecting our medicines, our plants, our language, and of course, our ceremonial and ways of prayer.
Ooh!
So,
boy, do we ever want to talk about that?
Yeah.
The Council of 13. Are you 13 Indigenous grandmothers? Are
13,
you
13? Absolutely, from all over the world.
All over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you meet? And can I come?
We decided to meet every 6 months in different parts. Different homes of the grandmothers.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, good. So you travel around the world then, too?
We travel around the world, yes, twice a year. And this year we're going to have our next gathering in Oregon. And then we're going to be, that would be with Grandma Agnes. And then we're going to be in the land of the Hopi with Grandma Mona in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so on. So we are moving in different directions of the world and planting the umbilicus of prayer.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk a little bit about the grandmother plant, which is really, as I understand it, how you bring the rest of us, and when I say us, I say people who are not tuned in to the traditional ways, how you get us tuned in. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. The beautiful thing about the grandmother plant, and I have to express to everybody that it is, that is the name of it. It is called the grandmother plant.
There really is a grandmother plant.
Yes, it is. Oh. And the reason that it's called the grandmother plant is because our grandmothers and grandfathers have told us that this plant has been the teacher of all other plants. And so she is a teaching plant.
Hmm.
And the beauty of the plant is that it is a, it's used topically, and you feel the actual medicine of the plant when you apply it. And when you feel the plant has the capacity to become one with you, and also it what it does is that it helps you to remember. And it acts on a cellular level, and every application and every time that you use it is a different experience.
Now, I had the occasion to be in the headwaters of the Amazon with the Shipibo peoples, and we were out in the rainforest on a nature walk, if you will, and the curandero who was taking us about pulled out a jug of this, what I didn't know what it was, but later learned that it was ayahuasca, and the purpose of ayahuasca and his culture was to enable people to talk with nature, to actually speak with plants and animals. Are we talking about a similar thing here?
Not that it's similar, but it's not exactly like that.
Okay.
The way that the grandmother plant, it is more of a personal thing. It's more like helping you with what you need help with.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I need a lot of help.
Whether it's a physical or emotional, it just helps to bring you into balance.
And is that what we need today that we can't seem to buy in any store or from any politician? Is that what we need, is some kind of balance?
Well, the thing is that we have forgotten how to be in balance. You know, we don't even know how to honor the earth. And when we as humans have walked away from not acknowledging, you know, the nature around us or that is in front of us or even behind us, then we are out of balance, you know, because it's not about living in a material world. It's about living in balance.
Well,
and
you know, in the traditional cultures of the Americas, where people lived closer to the earth, they had a much greater opportunity for spiritualism. Whereas those of us who live in modern times, you know, we're always racing about in our fast cars and crashing into our homes where we turn up the television as loud as we possibly can, and we seem to be doing our best to smother any kind of spiritual existence that we might have. Is that really what you're talking about here with being out of sync and out of balance?
That's correct. And what the, you know, and while even with all of this going around you, when you give the plant a chance and you apply it and you try it, you know, you feel the difference. You feel the movement of the plant,
mm-hmm.
and you feel the essence of the plant. And most of all, it is the spirit of the plant that is doing all of the transformation. And we really don't have or the know-how if we are in a high-speed, fast life. We just don't know. We come from different ways of life, and here is something that it is meant, you know, for humanity it is an aid. It is to help us to move, you know, and to become more in the light than out of the light.
Well, grandma, Grandmother Florida Maya, how do you introduce this to high-voltage Western people, you know, who are racing down the freeway at top speed? And how do you say, excuse me, just a minute, how do you approach us?
Exactly the way that I've been saying. You know, you give it a chance. The best time to use it is when, you know, hopefully your body will be a little quiet when you go to bed. Mm-hmm. And allow it to work with you. And so what I have put together is a way of application. It comes in a little bottle, and also a CD, which is a guided meditation, and it helps you to put you into this place of quiet silence where you could absorb and become one, you know, with the great mystery.
Mm-hmm.
That we just don't know how to do it, and we are unable to do it because of the race.
Because our mothers never taught us how to do it, Florida Mayo.
Exactly. Yeah.
And our mothers never taught us how to do it because they were very busy.
Exactly.
And such is the nature of things that some of the things that we have lost and are losing as we continue that head rush lunge down the freeway at top speed. Folks, this is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, and today we're talking about the grandmother plant and what kind of healing and hope we might find within this plant. We have with us today Grandmother Florida Mayo, who is not just a grandmother, but she's one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers of the Council of Indigenous Grandmothers. And she travels around the world connecting with other grandmothers so that somebody can be there to hold us all together. When we get back, we'll go in search of the grandmother plant with Florida Mayo. Please do stay tuned. Well, hello out there. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson. Folks, our world is in need of healing and hope. There are many who promise to bring us healing and hope, but somehow we just don't seem to be getting our money's worth because we're all so desperate for healing and hope. Recently I had a person I really respect, an 87-year-old grandmother, come into my office, and we were talking about the present situation in the world today, and this person has seen so much through her years, and she broke down and started crying right there in my office, and I have never seen her cry before, though having spent a lot of time with her. And she just was out of hope and didn't know where to turn, where to find hope. And so when I had the opportunity to talk with Grandmother Florida Mayo, I thought, what a perfect opportunity. Because I think we have to look in different places these days to find hope, because we're just not getting our money's worth any place else. So today we're talking with Grandmother Florida Mayo, who is a practitioner of the healing arts from the indigenous cultures of Central America, born into the Mayan race and reared throughout the United States, including the Bronx or New York City, right?
I married a man from New York.
That must have been interesting. So let's talk a little bit about you as a healer and how you approach healing and bringing hope to people who need it so desperately. When you're asked to help somebody, where do you start?
Well, pretty much if someone comes to me and says, you know, I would like to get some help, it is at that point the person has to be at a place of surrender and allowing the healer to receive information on what the need is at the moment.
When you say surrender, is that kind of like what they say about an alcoholic? You know, they have to hit bottom before they're willing to do anything. As long as they're holding on to the hope that they can still be an alcoholic, there's no hope in curing them. Is that kind of where you're going with this?
I think it's a little bit different because because the way that you're expressing that's kind of like having like a vice, right?
Yeah, I guess
but
so.
But when we surrender to receive spirit or spirituality or spiritual guidance, what we're doing when we surrender is that we are opening ourselves to receiving the cosmic light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different kind of surrender. This is what it is. Language is very limited. But it is at that moment when the person, you know, speaks and says, you know, would you be able to help me? It is through the voice and me hearing the vibration of their voice that I can enter into a place of light and I can see their light body.
Mm-hmm.
And when I could see their light body without my physical eyes, I can see different patterns within that body, different images, different and probably the closest thing that would look like something like that is like the aurora borealis.
Right.
Have you seen the way that it moves and the different lights like
shifts.
That?
It shifts and it cracks and
that's
it popples.
Right. That's the way that I see the light body in a human.
Oh.
And so the more I look at it and the more the person speaks, the more different patterns that I see and the more that... And the reason that I know how to translate it is because I've been seeing it all my life,
mm-hmm.
and I understand the pattern.
And we should mention Florida Mayo for those who are just tuning in, that Florida Mayo has been a practitioner of the healing arts since the age of four, when she was taken into her mother's cause, I guess it were, and you traveled around with your mother and were nurtured by the community in the healing arts. So, and the spiritual healing is part of your culture, and it's something that's recognized in your culture. Is it recognized in our culture?
To a certain degree, I think that you know, what we don't have is the support, you know, when they're children, or even the support, you know, when the mother is carrying the baby, because. You know, all of us, you know, as I'm speaking for myself and my people down in Central America, we tune in on the unborn baby, you know, so, you know, we kind of have this dialogue that's going on and we're preparing, you know, if a child is born, you know, to be a great seer or even to be a healer or to be born in that way. We're prepared, and we have somebody where this child is going to apprentice, and many, many times the
Before
they're even born, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. I've had visions of my children before they were born, my grandchildren, you know, I've had visions of things that they would be doing, and these are things that I have expressed to my family, and especially my children, and my husband. So it's part of something that we do. Also with nieces and nephews, you know, we stay in touch with all of that, you know, who is having a baby,
mm-hmm.
when was the baby born, you know, and also to look at it astrologically and to make sure that that child is taken care of that way.
They call it Curandera Espiritu, is that correct?
That's
would you say it so that it sounds right?
Yes, curandera espiritu.
Espiritu.
Yes, curandera means healer.
Mm-hmm.
Female healer, and that's what the word means in Spanish. Espiritu is a person that is a healer through the divine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can see you know, in the spirit world. And this is what I do. I am a curandera espiritu.
Espiritu. And so you tune into people, as you have all your life, and you listen to them, and you see their patterns. And you look for something wrong in the pattern or something that's confusing the pattern?
I don't look for anything. Basically...
Ah.
The person will show me what needs to be seen. When I say the word surrender, we as humans have many, many layers of light. And so we allow the seer to see through these layers of light. And this is how we're able to find a remedy. We are like a these different layers have to be shed in a way, you know, for a person to go and look right in and see where and how to help.
And the grandmother plant is one of the ways that you can surrender.
Absolutely. Not only that, but you could do it in the privacy of your home. My
as long as you turn the TV off.
Everything has to be off.
Okay.
One of the things that my mother, you know, one of the biggest journey that she had was to empower people. And when we take the grandmother plant and we apply it ourselves in the privacy of a home, this is what we're doing. We're taking our power back. We're empowering ourselves. We're becoming one, you know,
taking charge again.
With the spirit of the plant.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break, but holy smokes, hold on to your horses, folks. We've got Grandmother Flora de Mayo, and we have Hope right back. Healing and Hope. Where do you find yours? Do you turn to Washington, D.C.? Or what about those smiling faces on television and in the movies? I guess I've tried both places and have come away kind of empty-handed, but maybe you've had better luck than I have, but I suspect not, in which case we're looking around for healing and hope, and today we're looking to the indigenous cultures of Central America, as represented by Grandmother Flora de Mayo and her grandmother plant, and I'll bet you've never heard of such a proposition, but it's here today. Flora de Mayo, the grandmother plant, allows us to surrender in a way that we can open ourselves up to being healed again. Is that a good summation?
Yes. What it is that one of the things that my mother has done all of her life and taught me that what we need to do as healers is to empower people.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ways that that we could do that is when we allow ourselves, you know, to use this application of the plant, then we allow ourselves to become one with the heart of the plant, with the spirit of the plant. This is a way of surrendering. This is a way of empowerment. This is a way that you can do it in the privacy of your home, in the silence of your home, just you, yourself, and the spirit of the plant and your beloved, and allow it to help you.
You know, Flora de Mayo, it occurs to me that you're heading in the opposite direction of everybody else, because it seems as though everybody else is in the business of disempowering us, of taking away our money, of seducing us into something or other. And yet here you are talking about your job as a healer, as taught to you by your mother, and perhaps she, her mother, and so on back into the dawn of time, is that the objective is to empower and make strong.
The only way that we're going to change as a human race is when we have the strength to stand up on our own two feet as humans and to really, really understand what it is to have the freedom to choose and the freedom to be, you know, connected not only with nature, but also it goes beyond that. We are also to be connected with the cosmos, because we're not existing on this earth by ourselves. We are existing with everything around us. And what everybody else is telling us is that is an immediate, a fake way of pretending that we could survive as humans. But in reality, we have we have the capacity to go beyond that as human beings.
And what
and it's something that's not being addressed at all, and it's something that needs to be addressed.
Right. What part does prayer play in what you're talking about in your healing?
Prayer is a dialogue. It's a dialogue between yourself and your God. It's a dialogue between yourself and your beloved. It is a communication from the heart. And it is only your heart knows what it is that you need to communicate.
And thus the importance of surrender again.
And that's the importance of surrender again. And we all have the ability and the capability to do this. So if we're going to change, we have to start changing within ourselves first. We can't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. Nothing is going to change. If we don't change ourselves, nothing is going to get changed.
Flor de Mayo, can you give us an example of somebody that you have witnessed change? You don't have to use their name or something, anything like that, but give us an example of what you're talking about.
I think a good example would be to sit with a person and the person starts saying, yes, this is the way that I've been feeling. Yes, I understand that. I really believe in that. These might be just a few words, but what we as humans have forgotten to do is to trust that the heart is the one to trust, is the one that knows what is good and not good for you. And I think that that is the biggest thing. And with the grandmother plant, you know, you have that sense of knowing, you know, that there's that clear communication of the heart, and it's not like the communication of the chattered mind. You know, the mind is kind of like a manipulative little
rascal up there, isn't it?
Yes, and it's like on its own silly little journey, and it doesn't settle down and it doesn't stay still. But I find that people say to me, you know, I've been able to quiet my mind. I've been able to listen, you know, deep down inside of me. And to distinguish what would be, you know, the right thing to do and not the right thing to do. And I think indirectly what this does is that it puts us in a place of freedom and freedom to make the right choices.
Folks, you're tuned into The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We have a couple minutes left, and when we get back, I want to zero in on the grandmother plant and ask all about it if I can. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Our guest today, the grandmother, Flor de Mayo, a Mayan from the Central America area, and she's here to talk about how we can find hope and healing in the grandmother plant. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, we are in need of hope and healing, but where can we find it? Our world is bruised and beaten, and everywhere we look, we see trouble and not much hope. So where do we turn? Do we turn to the politicians in Washington, D.C. and throughout the state capitals and local capitals? And do we turn to the smiling faces on television and in the movies? Today we're turning someplace else. We're turning to Grandmother Flor de Mayo and her grandmother plant. Flor de Mayo, where were you introduced to the grandmother plant? Was this something that your mother brought to you?
Actually, the way that I was introduced to the plant, I was at a conference in Mexico, and I was doing some healings on stage, and there were lines of men and women, children, coming in both directions on the left and the right of the stage. And a group of grandmothers, perhaps maybe three or four grandmothers, brought a bundle up to me, and they just said, Flor de Mayo, we brought you this plant, and our prayer is that it will help you with the healings. And they gifted me the bundle, and the bundle was pretty big. It was a very big bundle. And as soon as I embraced the bundle, I took it and embraced it like a child.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the energy traveling through.
I pictured a baby in your arms.
Oh, absolutely. And so the plant, I felt it traveling through my fingers and up into my shoulders. And I shared with a group of people that during that time that I was doing those healings, I was able to do something like 140 healings. Everything was just speeded up, sort of say. But
super grandmother.
Well, it helped with everything that I was doing. It helped the person that was there for healing, and certainly it helped me to move the energy a little bit quicker.
So is the grandmother plant endemic to Mexico?
No, absolutely not.
So it's everywhere.
Pretty much, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, we have it through, you know, Mexico, Central America. It's pretty much like a tropical plant.
Okay, good. And you have taken the oils from this plant. I guess that's an essential oil?
No. Actually, the way that the process is done is the plant sitting on oil and allowing it to, you know, for the juices of the plant to penetrate into the oil. This is the way that it's done.
Wow.
So it sits for a cycle of a full moon.
Uh-huh. What about us poor guys?
It's for everybody.
For everybody?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. And I guess this is how you make your way in the world, right? Just by providing the oil and the meditation technology to surrender.
And to make things a little bit simpler, you know, what I have taken is, you know, many, many years of teachings and put it in a simple way, thinking of the way that humanity is right now in this modern time, and putting it in a simple container, in a simple way, so that no matter what, everybody will have the time to be part of this healing.
Flor de Mayo, grandmother Flor de Mayo, we want to thank you so much for joining us today from New Mexico. Really appreciate your appearance on the Food Chain and for giving us the opportunity to look into a different place for healing and hope. We really appreciate it, and I'll be showing up at one of your convocations of grandmothers because it sounds like an awful lot of fun. This, folks, has been the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.